You sent them to Tuono without consulting me? How surprising of you, Maneo! You've not done such an independent thing in a long while.
Maneo stood about 10 paces from Leto in the gloomy center of the crypt, head bowed, using every artifice he knew to keep from trembling, aware that even this could be seen and interpreted by the God Emperor. It was almost midnight. Leto had kept his major domo waiting and waiting.
I pray I have not offended, my lord, Maneo said. You have amused me, but take no heart from that. Lately I cannot separate the comic from the sad. Forgive me, lord, Maneo whispered. What is this forgiveness, you ask? Must you always require judgment? Can't your universe merely be?
Maneo lifted his gaze to that awful, cowled face.
He is both ship and storm. The sunset exists in itself.
Maneo felt that he stood on the brink of terrifying revelations. The God Emperor's eyes bored into him, burning, probing.
Lord, what would you have of me? That you have faith in yourself.
Feeling that something might explode in him, Maneo said,
Then the fact that I did not consult you before... How enlightened of you, Maneo! Small souls who seek power over others first destroy the faith those others might have in themselves.
The words were shattering to Maneo. He sensed accusation in them, confession. He felt his hold on a fearsome but infinitely desirable thing weakening. He tried to find words to call it back, but his mind remained blank. Perhaps if he asked the God Emperor,
Lord, if you would but tell me your thoughts on... My thoughts vanish on contact!
Leto stared down at Maneo. How strange were the majordomo's eyes, perched there above that hawkish Atreides nose, free-verse eyes and a metronome face. Did Maneo hear that rhythmic pulse beat?
Malky is coming! Malky is coming! Malky is coming!
Maneo wanted to cry out in anguish. The thing he had felt, all gone. He put both his hands over his mouth.
Your universe is a two-dimensional hourglass, Leto accused. Why do you try to hold back the sand?
Maneo lowered his hands and sighed.
Do you wish to hear about the wedding arrangements, Lord? Don't be tiresome. Where is Hui? The fish speakers are preparing her for... Have you consulted her about the arrangements? Yes, Lord. She approved? Yes, Lord, but she accused me of living for the quantity of activity and not for the quality. Isn't she marvelous, Maneo? Does she see the unrest among the fish speakers? I think so, Lord. The idea of my marriage disturbs them. It's why I sent the Duncan away, Lord. Of course it is, and Siona with him, too, Lord. I know you have tested her, and she senses the golden path as deeply as you do, Maneo. Then why do I fear her, Lord? Because you raise reason above all else. But I do not know the reason for my fear.
Leto smiled. This was like playing bubble dice in an infinite bowl. Maneo's emotions were a marvelous play performed only on this stage. How near the edge he walked without ever seeing it.
Maneo, why do you insist on taking pieces out of the continuum? Leto asked. When you see a spectrum, do you desire one color there above all the others? Lord, I don't understand you.
Leto closed his eyes, remembering the countless times he had heard this cry. The faces were an unseparated blend. He opened his eyes to erase them.
As long as one human remains alive to see them, the colors will not suffer a linear mortis, even if you die, Maneo. What is this thing of colors, Lord? The continuum, the never-ending, the golden path. But you see things which we do not, Lord, because you refuse.
Maneo sank his chin to his chest.
Lord, I know you have evolved beyond the rest of us. That is why we worship you, and damn you, Maneo!
Maneo jerked his head up and stared at Leto in terror.
Civilizations collapse when their powers outrun their religions, Leto said. Why can't you see this? Hui does. She is Ixion, Lord. Perhaps she's a fish speaker. She has been from birth, born to serve me. No!
Leto raised one of his tiny hands as Maneo tried to speak.
The fish speakers are disturbed because I called them my brides. And now they see a stranger not trained in Sienok, who knows it better than they. How can that be, Lord, when your fish... What are you saying? Each of us comes into being, knowing who he is, and what he is supposed to do.
Maneo opened his mouth, but closed it without speaking.
Small children know, Leto said. It's only after adults have confused them that children hide this knowledge even from themselves. Maneo, uncover yourself! Lord, I cannot!
The words were torn from Maneo. He trembled with anguish.
I do not have your powers, your knowledge of enough!
Maneo fell silent. His body shook. Leto spoke soothingly to him.
It's all right, Maneo. I asked too much of you, and I can see your fatigue.
Slowly, Maneo's trembling subsided. He drew in deep, gulping breaths. Leto said,
There will be some change in my Fremen wedding. We will not use the water rings of my sister, Ganima. We will use, instead, the rings of my mother. The Lady Chani, Lord? But where are her rings?
Leto twisted his bulk on the cart and pointed to the intersection of two cavernous spokes on his left, where the dim light revealed the earliest burial niches of the Atreides on Arrakis.
In her tomb, the first niche. You will remove those rings, Maneo, and bring them to the ceremony.
Maneo stared across the gloomy distance of the crypt.
Lord, is it not a desecration to... You forget, Maneo, who lives in me.
He spoke then in Chani's voice.
I can do what I want with my water rings.
Maneo cowered.
Yes, Lord. I will bring them with me to Tabor Village when... Tabor Village?
Leto asked in his usual voice.
But I have changed my mind. We will be wed at Tuono Village. Most civilization is based on cowardice. It's so easy to civilize by teaching cowardice. You water down the standards which would lead to bravery. You restrain the will. You regulate the appetites. You fence in the horizons. You make a law for every movement. You deny the existence of chaos. You teach even the children to breathe slowly. You tame.
The Stolen Journals. Idaho stood aghast at his first close glimpse of Tuono Village. That was the home of Fremen? The fish speaker troop had taken them from the citadel at daybreak. Idaho and Siona bundled into a large ornithopter, accompanied by two smaller guard ships. And the flight had been slow, almost 3 hours. They had landed at a flat, round plastone hangar, almost a kilometer from the village, separated from it by old dunes locked in shape with plantings of poverty grasses and a few scrubby bushes. As they came down, the wall directly behind the village had seemed to grow taller and taller, the village shrinking beneath such immensity.
The Museum Fremen are kept generally uncontaminated by off-planet technology,
Nayla had explained as the escort sealed the thopters into the low hangar. One of the troop already had been sent trotting off toward Tuono with the announcement of their arrival. Siona had remained mostly silent all during the flight, but she had studied Nayla with covert intensity. For a time during the march across the morning-lighted dunes, Idaho had tried to imagine that he was back in the old days. Sand was visible in the plantings, and in the valleys between dunes, there was parched ground, yellow grass, the stick-like shrubs. Three vultures, their gap-tipped wings spread wide, circled in the vault of sky.
The Soaring Search, Fremen had called it.
Idaho had tried to explain this to Siona walking beside him. You worried about the carrion-eaters only when they began to descend.